Welcome to the Museums and That podcast, where each episode we have a chinwag and serve you the steaming hot tea on the things museum people love the most. We're your hosts, Meg and Sarah from Leeds Museums and Galleries, and we get to know the people behind the objects by asking them the questions that you really want to know. Hello, Smez.
Hi, Meg. How are you? What's been good? What's been going on in your week?
It's been good, actually. I had, as I'm sure you'll find out in a minute, had a big mezze platter today.
Oof.
Feeling garlicky. But yeah, main thing for my week, I reckon, is obviously, you know, working in like museums and stuff, but also Boyzone.
Yeah. I do remember that day. Yeah.
No, I've rediscovered Boyzone and...
Blowing your mind.
I literally can't. It's like a disease. Stephen Gately was my first ever crush. And I feel like young Meg is just loving it.
Wow.
No?
Incredible.
What about you?
Well, it was non-work related. So we had a ye olde Victorian fair in Otley at the weekend, which was very good because...
That is so Otley of you.
I know. There was mulled cider with extra stuff in it.
Eggnog.
It was very good. No.
What's even is eggnog in it?
I don't know, but it wasn't in the cider. It was very good. But actually, that's been trumped by a new thing that happened today where Meg couldn't pronounce Pearl Jam correctly. So that's now my favourite thing that's happened in the past week.
Pearl Jam.
Wrong.
It's not, but it's got a gap in it.
You're saying it wrong.
How do you say it?
Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Pearl Jam.
No. No, it's not a question.
Delicious Pearl Jam.
Not made out of pearls. So that's the best thing that's happened to in my week, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, that's a sad week.
Sorry.
Although, to be fair, I am the best part of most people's weeks.
Fine. I'm going to change it up next week.
So who did we have on today?
We have Erin Hussey on today, who is our archivist.
God, she's so good, isn't she?
She's very good. She's going to give us a little bit of an insight into all things archive from Leeds Museums Galleries, but also from the Henry Moore Institute, because she splits her time.
She works across both of them, doesn't she? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of like Hermione Granger in Prisoner of Azkaban.
Mm.
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. But she's got that little necklace. And then Sirius Black, a.k.a. Gary Oldman.
Oh, Gary Oldman.
Oh, baby. Before we begin, a little disclaimer. No caterpillars, no disgusting stuff. But basically, Smez was really annoying, kept banging the table throughout this.
I think it was me.
It was you. It was 100% you. It would be Erin. She's too much of an angel.
Oh, fine.
So if there's an annoying banging sound...
It's me.
It's Smez. Sorry about
sorry.
That. Yeah. Say sorry to the people.
Sorry to the people.
Yes. Oh, also, in our last episode, we were like, oh, it'll be 2 weeks. And we did a big song and dance about it, two weeks. It's literally a week and a day because you were all so nice about the first episode.
Yeah.
So we thought we'd treat you.
Yeah. We got giddy.
Literally 8 days.
Yeah. That is the perfect amount of time. It's not a week. It's not 2 weeks. It's 8 days.
Literally no rhyme or reason there, is there?
No. There's not much logic that goes on behind the scenes in this generally.
Oh, so. 100% not. But yeah, anyway, so ignore the banging, but enjoy.
Yeah.
I'll start off by saying, oh my God, I'm dead. Because Erin Hussey is in the research room.
My second home.
Your second home. It's
yes,
your second home.
It is.
We're a little bit late to the research room because we just had we all shared a mezze.
We did. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And very garlicky.
Very garlicky,
so
yeah.
So very
garlicky.
So
we've all got chewing gum. So if you hear this,
it's chewing gum.
Did that sound nice?
That's disgusting.
Yeah. It's because we're sharing a microphone today.
I was going to say, I thought you were going to say, we're sharing a chewing gum.
No. We can if you want. You want
no, no, okay.
So yeah, Erin Hussey's here. Erin, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Did you enjoy your mezze?
Did. I loved my mezze.
Yeah, what was your best bit?
I've got to say, the bread.
The bread was really good.
Yeah. Mm. Both garlic and rosemary.
Erin Hussey loves garlic bread.
Yeah.
And a bit of salt.
Visible salt.
Mm.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Erin, who are you? Who the flip are you?
Who am I? I am archivist for Leeds Museums and Galleries.
Woohoo!
Woo-woo!
And
I cover all bases. I'm very lucky with my job that I cover all of the Henry Moore Institute Archive of Sculptures papers, which I manage in the Henry Moore Institute, which belongs to Leeds Museums and Galleries. And I also look after all the archives of Leeds Museums and Galleries itself, so all its institutional treasures.
Wow.
Oh, I love treasure. Treasures.
Institutional is a hard word, isn't it?
Institutional.
Institutional.
Yeah. You're a hard word.
Yes. Right, so first things first, what is an archive? What do you mean?
Well, an archive, compared to a museum, is where we store paper-based material. That's usually what we say, but sometimes there is a lot of crossover. So what archives are they're more about information. So they're information-based stores of things. Yeah.
Information-based stores of things.
Information-based
So it's not all
stores.
Just paper. What could it be other than paper then?
Well, so in the Henry Moore Institute archive, where we have...
Oh, my God, hang on, sorry. Is this going to be an information-based... Is this going to be an archive?
This
could
podcast?
We, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Are we making history?
We are making history. That's the thing. Anything can be in an archive. So it's information that's passed between people and throughout the world. So that's what we want to capture. It's not about objects. It's about what things can tell us.
So if it's not paper, yeah. Then what's the weirdest format that you've had an archive in? Do you know what I mean? Like, is someone left, like, I don't know. Like a code somewhere. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, how?
Yes.
No, but like, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
sorry,
I do.
Don't make fun of
yeah.
me.
Sorry, I thought you were going to do something more exciting than a code.
What's more exciting than a code? Tell me.
I can't.
So,
like, if I you had like plasticine, like someone just inscribed something on plasticine or something.
Yeah, it could be. So, in our archive of sculptors' papers, the things that exist outside of paperwork, there's a lot of tools. So we will have all different tools that were used by sculptors. Nothing as interesting as codes.
So why is that not in a? Why is that not an object? Why is
interesting.
That not an object in a museum?
I don't really know. So the archive of sculptors' papers really covers the context behind a sculptor making their artwork. So the actual artwork will end up in collections of the Leeds Art Gallery in their sculpture collection. But anything that came before that and helped inform what they created will be in the archive. So it's all the background to how it made it work. So tools can end up in our archive because they helped create the piece of work. They were part of the sculptor's lives, basically.
Wow.
But equally, that could be in a museum. So this is where, like, the archive and the museum really cross over.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are debates when things come into us whether they should sit within the archive or the museum.
Who would win in a fight, a museum or an archive?
Depends who's fighting.
If you were fighting Smez,
I think we'd be evenly matched.
I think we would just apologise until one of us just took it.
And then we'd just go for a drink and it would be fine.
The one good thing about the archive is I always say that the archive might make it more accessible. So we are open, the Archive of Sculptors Papers is open 5 days a week. And we encourage people to be coming into us all the time and sit in our lovely wooden reading room and get to see all of our treasures, which the curators do as well. So
I didn't know about it, and I think it's a really interesting place to go and just have a bit of time, because it's bang in the city centre and you just don't know about it otherwise.
Exactly, yeah. So it's right next to the Leeds Art Gallery. It has galleries itself downstairs, and then the library is free for anyone to use. So it's a really good centre for art students, but also anyone who wants to kind of think about sculpture and think about art in Britain and abroad and have a lovely, relaxing time.
Has anyone famous ever been in there?
Oh, interesting. It depends what you think of as famous.
Has Ariana Grande ever been into the archives?
No.
I would die.
I would also die. I did think, though, because we keep doing little tweets about, well, band t-shirt day. I was like, will idols come in next week? Is my thought.
For context, Erin, twice.
The
last 2 years,
yeah.
You've been retweeted by BBC Radio 6 for t-shirt day. And
yes.
Idols.
And Idols, the very lovely band, have liked my post.
I literally feel like I've got so many questions to ask.
Yeah.
Just keep them going.
I've got so many. I've known you for like how many years now? And I literally now I'm just like,
well, I want to know why. Why?
Sara's got her hands out like what is that?
You know, so what's on my hands and why can't I touch stuff?
Oh yeah, what do you have to wear when you're
right.
Yeah.
Yes. So people always think this about archives and they think that you have to go in fully kitted out with a whole jacket, like a white lab coat and gloves. And it's
like in Monsters Inc.
Like in Monsters Inc. And it's purely not true. I kind of blame, I shouldn't say this, but I kind of blame all of those programs where they try and trace your family tree. What are those called when they get the celebrities on?
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? And they'll go to archives and they'll all be decked out. When really, there are some damaging things on our hands. We have bacteria, we have a lot of oils. But when people come into our archive...
I do like to put scented oils on my hands.
Just not before you come into an archive. Okay. So we usually say, have your hands fully washed and then you're free to touch pretty much everything apart from photographs. So photographs have a delicate kind of balance of chemicals, and that's what the oil on your hands will really damage. So mostly you see it with your own photographs, you'll have fingerprints on them and it's just not good. It messes with kind of everything. But when it comes to paper, we actually find that the white gloves that you might wear, even the kind of plastic, more plastic gloves, they actually could do more damage to the paper.
Wow. I didn't
because
know that.
You can manhandle them when you think you have all the protection on your hands. And just shuffle through them.
Have you ever accidentally manhandled something?
Oh, I wouldn't possibly.
This is bad. You're not going to say. You're not going to tell me, are you? You get sacked.
I would have my archivist badge revoked.
Hands chopped off.
But it always does happen because, you know, we obviously try and make it not happen, but paper is just like anything. It's very delicate when it's in your possession, and it's very delicate when it comes into ours.
I've got a question.
Right, yes.
Imagine you're going into a library.
Yes.
Is a library an archive?
No. So the big difference between a library and archive is the uniqueness of the material. So a library is usually books that there's a whole run of them. So they're not unique, basically.
Oh, that's a... burn, isn't
that
it?
Is this parks this museums versus libraries, like Parks and Rec.
And actually, like the lines between archives and museums, there's also a big blur of libraries and archives. So, for example, there's a library within the Henry Moore Institute, and they have both books that are not unique and are secondary material, but they also have special collections which are more unique books.
So special collections are not the same thing as an archive?
No, because they're still... So a special collection would be, say, a book from 100 years ago that there was a run of them. They're not unique. They were mass-produced, but there might be 10 left in the world. So they're very special. They need to be protected, but they're not unique. Whereas what we deal with is there's one-offs. There's only one photograph. There's only one drawing from an artist.
This is like in America's Next Top Model when they're like, there's a lot of your face. Like, we're looking for the special someone.
Yeah.
So the special someone is the archives.
I don't think it's strictly the same, but I understand where you're going.
It is the same.
Yeah.
Do you remember Naima? Did you ever watch it?
Okay. I think I watched all the series, but
I would
can't
say that
anyone.
Archives in this respect are Naima.
Okay. Unique.
Mm.
With a schmize.
A schmize.
Schmize.
Sorry, that wasn't even my question. This is, I know.
Wow.
Jesus. Right, so basically, you know when you go into a library, if it's like a really old, tatty book,
yes.
And you open it up and it smells. It's got a little bit of a smell to it. And then, like, when you're flicking through a page,
yeah.
And then someone's, like, picked their nose and, like, smeared beep, 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 beep on it.
Yeah.
What?
What do we
what
do?
What do you do? Yeah, have you ever
what
come across
do?
That?
Who picks their nose and smears?
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, there is no way that you've never picked up a book and found, like, a weird stain in it. Like, if you go in a charity shop, you flick through some pages.
Oh, yeah,
some of them
yeah.
stick together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's different circumstances. We do, like, brush cleaning on books. That's what we tend to do. But then also, that is where our lovely conservators come in to do their brilliant job, because they know more about what makes up the material. So they'll know exactly what is on something, how to clean it, and how to make it so that that thing, if there's something on a page, doesn't damage it forever.
Have you ever found anything really gross? Like, have you ever been like, that is a bogey?
Do you know what? No. So I found weird bugs. We've had silverfish in archives I've worked in before.
I had those in my uni room once.
Oh.
I say once. It was many times.
Many times. Luckily, I think we do it really well here. So at Discovery Centre, as soon as things come in, we have the freezer, which freezes every bug that could possibly be living on the material. Other archives I've worked in haven't had that. So again, it was a really lucky connection between, or a really beneficial connection between archives and museums. Other archive services that I've worked in before don't have that facility. So you'll get a fresh archive in and you'll just have to do that exact thing, go through everything, and you might find horrible things, but in-house, you'll just have to do that yourself to the best of your ability, be cleaning it and everything. But we have in-house conservators here who know everything there is to know.
Cool.
And also, do you know what? The weirdest thing I've ever had is just tea and coffee stains. Yeah. Because the majority of my working life, I've worked on modern archives.
Mm.
So a lot of it is just tea and coffee.
Isn't it nice just having a little read and a coffee?
Yeah, but isn't it? You can't take drinks into the archive room.
Yeah.
So they've snuck them in.
No, it's from artists originally. So you'll have...
Is that not part of the archival thing? That,
yeah,
you know, it's part of the process. History of it. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So it's an interesting concept, actually, is how far do you think that those stains and those rips and those different things make up the part of the object itself?
So what object would you say has been your most interesting / difficult to look after or conserve?
Well, I always refer to an object that was collected in an old job of mine. So before I worked here, I worked in the British Stand-Up Comedy Archive.
What? I did not know that.
Did you not?
No.
So this was based at the University of Kent, and we collected some objects from the comedian Josie Long. And a big part of one of her comedy tours was she used to collect gifts from the audience themselves, and they could give her anything. I think it was like about a moment of happiness or a moment of joy.
Oh, nice.
And one person gave an orange. So she had it in a plastic box and it came to us. So we had a whole collection of all the things that give people joy, and it was an orange. And we had no idea what to do with it. So, which was a tough one. So it still remains in the archive, and
Is it mouldy?
Do you know it hadn't gone mouldy by the time I left?
And it dried out, you know, like when you yeah. What are they called?
When you make a little elephant out of the skin.
No, that was just the one time that you told me about that.
Even on that.
No.
I'll do it for you.
Because I think when you get oranges... Sometimes they go like mouldy, but this one was pretty good. It
Did it go hard?
Mm.
Yeah, like yeah. So when you make a pomander, if you get a clementine or an orange and you strud it with cloves, quite a traditional Christmas thing.
Oh, yes. So, yeah.
I did it once at the gallery. I left had loads of limes because I was having avocado and lime on toast for my breakfast. And I had loads of limes in the bottom of my drawer and I forgot about them for like a year. And then I went in it and it was like a rock. It was like harder than a rock.
Yeah, so I thought they'd go soggy because of all the juice, but it went rock hard. And as far as I'm aware, it's still in the archive.
Wow.
On its own. We'd keep it on its own so it doesn't spread anything.
No, do you think Josie Long will still care for that orange?
Josie Long, if you're listening. Erin's got your orange.
I think it's a great story. Mm. I think the key thing with those type of object is tell the story now and capture a photograph now so everyone knows what it was, what it looked like, because these things do change. So yeah.
Do you know, my dad would be like, but it's just bloody orange. No one cares.
I know, but it's the meaning behind that. And also, I think that's the whole thing with all museums and archives material in general. Yeah. Everything is just a piece of paper or just a piece of ceramic or piece of object until people put meaning onto
it. Exactly. It captures a moment in time or a story or a piece of history. And I think I've never thought of, you know, you go to museums and you see things at face value, and what goes on behind the scenes is just as important, because that sort of influences everything that's going on at the front.
Exactly. What's going to happen then with, so now things are physical. So we're talking about people putting smudges on photographs with their fingers and stuff. So what's going to happen? Like, I've taken a million, like my camera is basically just full of pictures of myself. Like, what if they're going to go? What's the world? Do you know what I mean?
What's the world going to do if pictures of your face disappear?
Yeah, all my selfies. Like, because they're not physical things. And obviously you work in a physical archive now.
Yes.
So how are we...
dealing with that?
Yeah, so we are currently trying to really think about how best to capture this. So like I said before, archives are all based on information, and the information that we're creating and collecting now is all digital. So we've got to think about how we're going to take it all in the future, and how people, and specifically in the Archive of Sculptors papers, how are sculptors using digital technology, and how will they deposit with us in the future? So we're looking into all the ways of how to capture everything digital. So, yeah.
So what's your favourite thing that you've found, ever found in an archive? Is it the orange?
What is my
favorite? Or like if you've been like looking through like a box,
yeah,
and you're like, that time, do you remember when you came over to me and you were like, look at this little note that that kid had written?
Yeah.
And a little kid had been naughty at the City Museum.
Yeah. I think that's 100% my favourite thing from the Leeds Institutional Archive.
So tell everyone about that.
Right. So the Leeds Museum's Institutional Archive is all based on the history of the museum service, which is really interesting. It's been going for 200 years, but a lot of it can be very, you know, day-to-day workings. But what we found was a letter from a child.
What you were saying by then was boring.
We found a letter from a child.
No, I didn't mean what you were saying was boring.
Oh.
I meant like the day-to-day was boring.
Oh.
You were like, oh, it's day-to-day. I didn't
I thought
mean,
you
like,
meant my whole monologue. Boring. I was just like, oh, I'm
oh my
so
God.
No, I meant... I thought you meant like speed it up because...
I can imagine every person that comes on, I'm like, stop, that was boring. No, I meant like what you were trying to say about the institutional
yes.
archive was boring.
Yeah, so it can be very day-to-day and very, I mean, it's brilliant and it tells our story, but the glimpses of other things are brilliant. So what we found was a letter from a child who had come to the Leeds City Museum on their school trip. And
what year? When?
1960. I believe. Wasn't it? 1960. And what was his name? I've forgotten his name.
What happened in 1960?
What happened in 1960? No.
John it was 6 years Blanc. Before England won the World Cup.
Yes.
About Man on the Moon.
Yeah. I'm not sure when that happened, but...
Let's not worry about what happened in 1960 because none of us know.
If anyone's got a good thing that happened in 1960, do please let us know. Go on, sorry.
So he came on his school trip and he was a little bit naughty. And he was obviously told off while he was on the trip and probably when he got back to school. And so he wrote a very apologetic letter to one of the curators and he sent some biscuits to the curator to apologise.
That's so cute.
I know. And then the curator very sensibly wrote back and said, thank you very much. We love our biscuits and don't be naughty again.
Do you know what biscuits they were?
I do not.
Would the biscuits belong in the archive?
I don't think a curator would let them get to the point where they got in the archive.
Because they'd scoff them.
Because they'd scoff them all. Mm. I'm imagining custard creams.
Mm.
I always imagine custard creams.
What's your best biscuit?
I like chocolate hobnobs.
I like
chocolate
hobnobs.
That was mad, mate.
Love them so much.
I like, I can't say them. I like chocolate hobnobs.
Is yours custard creams?
No, I don't know if it is.
I also really like bourbons and everyone moans because they're boring.
I used to dip bourbons in Ribena.
Oh, that's minging.
That's nice.
It's like putting chips in milkshakes.
No, neither of those things are like each other. They're both just disgusting.
And actually, putting chips in milkshakes is a real thing.
It's not like putting bourbons in Ribena, though.
Controversially, I think my favourite biscuit that I could literally just eat 1 million of in a row is Jaffa Cakes.
Yeah.
Is it a biscuit? It's not, though, is it?
It's not. Well,
do you feel upset that you can't eat biscuits when you're at work in the archive?
Yes, I feel awful about it. But it is there to protect.
But do you ever feel like having a little bit of a biscuit and then wrapping it up in like some cling film so it doesn't hurt the book and then just sliding it into the book for like in like 100 years. Someone can open it up.
Leave my trace.
And have a little snick snack of a Jaffa cake.
Little
and be like
time capsule.
Yeah, like a little present.
Maybe I'll do that on my final ever day. As an archivist.
Oh my God.
Have you ever found anything rude? Like, you know, so when I was at uni and I did English literature and it was, this is the thing, right? So when I was at uni, someone was like, oh, have you read James Joyce's love letters? Do you know about this? Didn't you use English?
Yeah. But I didn't read James
Basically,
Joyce's Love
James Joyce of Ulysses fame.
The guy off of Ulysses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Irish fella.
Filthy little monkey.
I believe he was.
So everyone was like, his love letters, filth. Have you ever found any filth? You know, like in The Crown. But they're not love letters. They're literally hate letters.
I literally have not watched that show.
I've literally just talked for 2 minutes about
yeah, we're gonna have to go all that.
Just filth.
No, but like, have you found any filth?
No, I found
Or like
no
little
filth.
Notes, like little cute baby notes to people in that, like saying, read this, you'll like this.
No, that is really sad. I have not found any filth or love letters.
That's because have they were really professional. And that only happens to people that don't get into archives because they're not good enough.
No, but the whole point is that the archives are from people's homes, like they're from people's homes, aren't they?
To be fair, okay, no filth, but there are quite a lot of lovely letters in our HMI archive. So one of them that's really nice to read through is Haymo Thornycroft. So he's
What a name.
Haymo. Is it short for anything? Who knows?
Haymo.
Just Haymo. Pearl Jam all over again, isn't it?
Bring that in.
So Haymo used to write to his wife and tell her about all the trips that he was on. So he'd be like, I'm over here somewhere and I've been commissioned for this and I'm just painting a portrait today and I'll be making a sculpture. And he always says he misses her and he loves her, and you can just tell they were best friends.
Oh my god, cute
and that's
baby.
The nicest thing to find in archives is just like the humanity of people and just how nice they were. And letter writing is
letter from Luton
letter writing is a dying art, I think.
Oh my god, so, should we write everyone letters?
No.
Do you notice why I'm saying letters now? Like
Who's
is.
Everyone and why are we writing them letters?
Okay, right. So I actually have another question. So, right. You love Bruce Springsteen. We love Bruce Springsteen, but you love Bruce Springsteen. Right. First of all, what's your favourite Bruce Springsteen song?
I would say Darkness on the Edge of Town. Darkness on the Edge of Town. Darkness on the Edge of Town. And also that
Sorry,
album.
Was that Darkness on the Edge
that
of Town?
That was in all of the different ways. Darkness on the Edge of Town. Plus that album.
And how many times have you been to see Bruce Springsteen live?
Oh, I think it's 8.
Oh!
I think it's 8 whole times.
That's a lot of times.
Yeah.
It is a lot of times.
I want to get above 10.
So does Bruce Springsteen have an archive?
He does.
Have you been?
No, sadly I have not. So he deposited his life's archive with Monmouth University in New Jersey.
Oh, did that just beep, 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 beep?
Do you write off? That did, because I'm not going to live there. they had an advert for the archivist and everything. And yeah,
oh,
that's
sweet
sad.
Angel.
I know. But one day I might go see it. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god, we should take Erin there.
Yeah.
That happened to me.
Your
imagine,
ideal job.
Imagine if I was like, yeah, I was going to go for that job. Literally not qualified anyway. No, but a job came up. Disclaimer, I love my job. But a job came up to be David Byrne's social media manager
in
New York.
Yes.
Wow, that'd be intense.
Wouldn't it? And yeah. I was like, do I though? Should I?
Yeah.
But then I realised that it would just probably be, I probably wouldn't even get to meet David Byrne. I don't know.
No, I know. I've had this a few times in my life, 3 jobs that I would have considered going to America for. First, Beyonce's archivist.
Yeah. Second, Destiny's Child.
Second was Bruce. And third was, just a couple of years ago, Prince. So his Paisley Park archive after he died. Just sorting all out. Basically just being in Paisley Park all
the time.
Oh my god,
that'd be amazing.
It would have been amazing.
Wow.
Alas, did not go for them.
Chose Leeds.
Greatest city in the world.
That's
going to be every single podcast.
Yeah, it is, yeah, because Leeds is the greatest city in the world. Do you have a problem with it?
No.
Right, follow-up question.
Yes.
So is there like an archive that is the holy grail of all archives that every archivist just wants that for their collection? Like, you know, like how, I don't know, like the Mona Lisa is like, that's the artwork that everyone wants to have in their collection. Is there an archive that you would want? And then I have a follow-up question after that.
Great.
I'm going to let you answer that one first.
I think ultimately no is the answer to the general question, because I think unlike art, archives aren't something that is maybe prestigious or is not sought after or kind of valued. It's valued, but it's not like, what do you call the word for like why something is so popular? It's not
coveted.
Revered,
yeah. Because
so coveted was just as good of a word.
And also
coveted.
So I think that the value of archives is based on the information that it holds. And information is quite subjective, I would say. So an archive would be important to the person that is viewing that archive. And it doesn't work. The same can be said for art, but I think there are certain artworks that are more valuable in money and in other ways. But I think archives are unlike that. Mm. Having said that, there are some really cool archives across
like what?
The world. My personal fave is the Bishopsgate Institute Archive in London, which collects loads of archives about protests and like current history in London, and basically they're like rebel archives.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I've always been interested in kind of archiving the underdog and archiving the things that aren't archived yet. Mm. So coming into this job was really interesting because the history of our museum service that's been going for 200 years hasn't been archived yet. So it was really exciting to get your hands on all of those things. And that's what I love about certain archives is they're going for the things that we want to tell the history of in the future, but not necessarily that they've been put the value on it so far.
Yeah, they haven't been put on a pedestal.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So my follow-up question is, right, would you rather get the entire Bishopsgate Institutional Archive?
Yeah.
Or would you rather go on a date with Bruce Springsteen?
Oh my god.
And it could be, it's like you pick the date, he'll take you wherever you want to go. He'll sing you
Dance on the Edge of Town.
Five times.
I said it in all the different ways.
It's because I've had that mezze platter. I'm a bit sleepy.
I would 100% go on a date with Bruce Springsteen.
Excellent answer.
Because I can admire the Bishopsgate Institute Archive anytime because they are publicly accessible and I can just wander in and view all of their delights. I cannot go on a date with Bruce Springsteen every day of the week.
No. Bruce, if you're listening. So when you collect an archive.
Yes.
So you've got like a... someone says, here's all my books.
Yes.
Here you go.
Yes.
You're like, great, brilliant. Cheers, mate. Thanks. I'll have them. What do you do with them then?
Right. So we're always excited to get new archives in. And what we try and do right from the start is gather as much information we can from the depositor at the time. So whether it's the artist themselves or...
Do you record them or do you like write them down?
We write them down. So we get all the information, any context that they can provide that... us looking at the archive itself on its own, we wouldn't gain. So if they're family members, if it's the artists themselves, we want all of that information. So we're constantly writing down all of that when we're having these discussions. And then not everything will come in. And our priority is to firstly box list them. So often things will come in, say, in five boxes and they'll be in their boxes. So what we do is create a list of everything in all of those boxes. And then we will try and figure out a way of ordering them that will make the most sense to researchers. We try and keep a lot of original order because especially in an artist's archive, the way they give it to us might be the way that they have worked in the past. So they might have sketchbooks all together or they might have everything from a decade together. So we try and keep that order so that it reflects their working life. But then we also want to put an order on it if we need to that is most useful for researchers. So when someone comes in and says, I'm interested in this sculptor and I want to see all their sketchbooks or I want to see all of their drawings or I want to see everything from the 1970s, we can put our hands on it and get it out for them.
Smart.
Big question.
Big one.
Huge. What's been your favourite day at work?
Oh, God, I'm going to need to think about
that. If it doesn't involve both of us.
Oh, my God, what would it be? What have I done?
Was it that time that you went to that, went to the Dales and you had that lettuce soup?
Lettuce soup?
I did.
I was like, Erin, what have you been doing today? And she was like, well, I just went, I got on the bus or the train or whatever to the Yorkshire Dales and this woman made me a lettuce soup and it was work.
Yeah.
What?
That was a great date. Yes. So some of my favourite days are meeting potential people related to potential new acquisitions. So this year I got to go to the Dales, got to go to a place near Skipton, and I met with a depositor who's depositing the archive of Judith Bluck. And it's so lovely because we get to go and meet people and see all the material, sometimes in their home. And yeah, she made me lettuce soup. And
what does it taste
like? Gotta say, it works. It's just great.
Taste of green.
Did you feel like a tortoise?
I did, a little bit, apart from didn't chew lettuce because the lettuce was already in it.
Do tortoises drink soup?
No, but they eat lettuce, mate.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I felt like a tortoise afterwards.
You are
healthy.
I felt like a tortoise afterwards.
Fair.
But yeah, that was a great day. God, what was that a good day?
I know, I'd struggle with this question.
Yeah,
too.
I don't know.
Oh, okay,
that'll
good.
Be fine. That's fine. Enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Lettuce soup, that's good.
Lettuce soup, yeah.
So we have this is the final question.
Wow.
Final questions. What's the big takeaway for our listeners from what we've talked about today?
Oh.
And then, by natural extension, Erin, what is your favourite takeaway?
So apart from the fact that if anyone knows any way of getting into contact with Bruce Springsteen and organising my date, that would be perfect.
I reckon someone somewhere listening to this might be able to do that, you know.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
How far is this going to stretch? I really hope so.
Well, soon we'll be famous, surely.
So, yeah, we can organise the date with Bruce. That's fine.
Yeah, perfect. No problem. And then I think the big takeaway is I love archives. I love my job. I get to work with so many interesting things. And the HMI archive of Sculptors Papers and the Institution Archive is always there for you. Everyone. You can come along, organise a...
It's always there for you.
It is.
That's so cute. Like that song off of Friends.
Yes. We'll be there for you when the rain starts to fall.
Which it does often in Leeds.
It does.
Yeah. Great. Takeaway, what's your favourite takeaway? And try and guess what Rebecca Machen said to this, by the way.
Oh.
Absolutely.
We were gobsmacked.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
Turkish.
I know.
Turkish.
No. Ready? Tibetan.
Wasn't God, it? You can tell she's from Hebden Bridge, can't
that's
you?
That's exactly what I said.
Interesting. I would initially go for an Indian curry.
Mm.
But also my favourite food in the world is pizza.
That's a lie.
What?
It's garlic bread.
It is garlic bread. But I feel like my main favourite meal in the world is pizza.
You can just have a takeaway for garlic bread.
I mean, exactly.
You blimmin' can, mate, I tell you.
You can. Deliveroo that garlic bread. But takeaway.
By the way, it's pizza.
I'm doing all this.
Do you reckon that we're going to get to the point where we've said this enough that, like, I don't know, someone who makes garlic bread for a living will be like, oh, we'll send them... You know how people get sent free stuff?
Mm. Yeah.
Garlic bread.
I think
bread.
Most of all, yeah. I think garlic bread is the most favoured food of Leeds museums and galleries. So. Mm.
And in fact, we are tonight going out for garlic bread.
We are.
Off of the man at the Christmas market who just sells garlic bread.
Oh, yes, the garlic man. Mm. Oh, I would either go a paneer curry or a margherita pizza.
Mm, classic.
And why can't they both be at the same time?
Absolutely.
Yes. I respect that so much.
Yeah, that's incredible. Thank you. Thanks ever so much, Erin.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Great.
On Museums and That.
I'm sure we'll get you back.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I'm sure I'll have more things to say.
Episode. Yeah.
I'll let you know when I'm going on my date with Bruce.
That'd be really good. We do a podcast special on, like, what happened with Erin and Bruce.
Yeah. Mm. I'll record live from the private jet.
Keep it PG.
Yeah.
Don't keep it PG. Right, let's go get some garlic bread then, mate.
Yay! Woo!
That was Huss.
That was Huss. Very good.
So many learns.
How many?
At least six.
Seven.
Seven.
What was your best one? What was your best learn?
That... Actually, when you're looking through archives, it's sometimes better to just use your natural-born skin over gloves.
Ooh, skin.
Mm. Got to wash those hands.
Tell you what, washing hands is really important. And if only to know that you're not going to destroy archives.
Absolutely. But put those gloves aside. Just be careful with your hands. What was your best learn,
In all ways. My best learn was... It was just that Bruce Springsteen has his own archive.
That was incredible. I didn't know that.
It's just, I know. I feel like I knew. It's hard to really understand what an archive is, I think.
Yeah,
I think that sounds stupid because, like, we work in museums, but, like, Erin's
one of my best friends, and we were up with her every day, but still, like, finding things out that I didn't even think about. Like, obviously, Bruce Springsteen has... I love him so much, I just can't get it out of my mouth. Bruce Springsteen has an archive, and obviously Prince has an archive.
Yeah. And Beyonce. I mean?
Beyonce. Queen Imagine me. Working on Beyonce's archive.
Incredible. But I agree. I didn't know that such a thing would exist in a physical form where a person had to have a job to therefore manage that. That's incredible.
And does Bruce Springsteen's archivist get to just hang out with Bruce?
I don't know. Because at what point does it go from being an archive to blurring with real life? Do they catch them up? What happens? I don't know.
Yeah, I know. Do they become best friends?
It's amazing.
I guess we'll have to get her back on.
We'll find out.
Find out, yeah. But yeah, that was lovely. Good old Huss.
Yeah.
So thank you very much to everyone for listening. As always, a huge thank you to my boy, Tim Bentley, for Do It. That was lame.
Yeah.
Big thank you to Tim Bentley for doing our wonderful theme tune. And Alex Finney, as always, who is wonderful and did our cover artwork for us, which we love, by the way.
Oh, it's incredible.
Yeah. Good boy.
Yeah.
He's a good boy.
He's not a dog.
He's not a dog, no. He's a lovely man. So, yeah, if you've got any follow-up questions, be it about oranges, Bruce, my mezze platter, do please get in touch on the social medias. So you can tweet us at Leeds Museums. But also, me and Smez have our own social media. So.
Oh, I've forgotten what it is again.
Yeah, you've forgotten what it is. You've literally had like a whole week.
Sorry.
And you've been on it. I can see. I know you've been tweeting.
I did a tweet today.
Yeah.
About a dog cartoon.
It should be at Absolute Plonker.
I might change it to that because then I'd remember it every week.
At Sarah L. Merritt, I reckon. Sarah L. Merritt.
I don't know.
Anyway. And I'm at Museum Meg. Nice and easy to remember that, isn't it, Sarah?
Yes. Smug.
Yes. Who have we got coming up next time?
We have Chris Sharp.
So he works with communities at Leeds Industrial Museum.
From my neck of the woods, originally.
No. Is he?
Yeah. What? He's from the Midlands.
No.
Yeah. He absolutely is.
He's very tall.
He's very tall. He's called Tall Mister on the socials, actually.
I want to ask him how tall is Tall Mister?
Yeah, that should be a key leading question.
God, this is just making you all want to listen, isn't it? Oh, how tall is this man? Yeah, so have a good week, one and all. And see you later.
Yeah.
We haven't quite worked out our sign-off yet, have we?
No.
I think it's going to be this. Right, ready? Okay, bye.
Bye.